Good afternoon, welcome, and thank you for listening. I'm Bob, and you're amongst friends, yes you are, and this is Feel Good Wednesday for a Feel Better Wednesday. Coming up right now, I've got a guest in the studio. His name is Jonathan Young. Hello, Jonathan.
Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you. Thank you very much for coming on the show this afternoon. Really appreciate it. And, well, Jonathan has been in UHCW, on the UHCW Trust Board, since March 2024.
That's correct. Yep. Loving every minute.
It doesn't look worn out. He was a group clinical director at UHCW and then went to Oxford University Hospitals as a divisional director before returning here initially as the deputy and now chief medical officer. So, moving around, getting lots of good experience and back here. Are you enjoying it back here, Jonathan?
Yeah, I'm really invested in UHCW. I'm an orthopaedic surgeon by background. My first training job was in the old Covent Warwick. That's before the new hospital got built. That was very much happening when I started as a registrar. And I was a registrar at UHCW when it actually got built. And I've had great experiences here as a trainee and as a consultant. So I've lived in and around Coventry and Warwickshire for a very long time, and it's like a second home.
Good.
There's lots of Irish people here. I'm a Paddy by background, so you do get to see a few of your own brethren, so to speak, as well. So it's a great place to work.
Where in Ireland do you come from?
I'm from Belfast originally. On the sort of east side of Belfast, and I went to school in Hollywood, which is just outside Belfast, and. Interesting. One of my most famous school alumni is a golfer. You might have heard of him, called Rory McIlroy.
Oh,
He's a bit younger than me, but I remember watching him play golf as a little kid, and he was significantly better than everybody else I'd ever seen play golf.
So, and he's done remarkably well these 2 years with the Masters, hasn't he?
He has.
Absolutely brilliant. And do you ever bump into Van Morrison?
Van Morrison lives in East Belfast, and occasionally you will see him in the coffee shops, and I've heard him play a number of occasions, sometimes impromptu. He once did a gig in his back garden, and my friend lives around the corner from him, so we were all in his back garden having a very good listen and very much appreciative of his music.
Brilliant. Well, welcome along. We could talk about music now and forget everything else, but we won't. We'll move on because we're here to talk about a very important subject. The biggest cancer around at the moment is prostate cancer. And there's some 12,000 people die each year. I'm not talking about this hospital. I'm talking across England, presumably. And also some 55,000 to 65,000 people acquire it in some way, shape or form. It's diagnosed in some shape or form. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. And obviously, I'm an orthopaedic surgeon by background, so I'm not necessarily the world expert in prostate cancer. But as my sort of general doctor experience, as you get older in life, your prostate gets a bit bigger, it gets a bit more enlarged, and your risk of prostate cancer increases. The statistic from my medical school books was about 90% of people aged over 90 have a risk of acquiring prostate cancer of some sort. So as you get older, the risk definitely increases. So certainly I would be advising anybody who's coming up to age 50 or maybe in their 40s now to go and visit their GP. I'm going to be 50 this July, and I've booked into what they call a wellness check.
Oh, good.
With my general practitioner. So I imagine there's going to be a test for my prostate, as well as checking my blood pressure and a few other basic things. So and I would encourage all men to go and see the GP. It's an interesting thing. Men seem to be quite brave, perhaps, they can put some of these symptoms aside, but it's very important to see your GP regularly, whether or not you think you've got prostate cancer or not. It's very important to check in and get some of those basic tests.
Yeah.
They can save your life.
I'd vouch for that. It can be very serious, and particularly there's some issue about people not understanding the background in their family, because people haven't talked about prostate cancer in the family. It's one of those things.
Yep.
My parents never talked about cancer.
Yes.
Mother called it C. She didn't even say the word.
Yes.
But in the family, I don't know whether my father had that or his father, but people are missing that out and therefore finding they get prostate cancer. There was an item on BBC Midlands Today yesterday about some study seminar they're doing in the Black Country in Wolverhampton. And all these black people didn't know their family history. And one guy said, my father, grandfather, great-grandfather, brothers,
Yes.
Again, people talking about it is important.
Yeah, it is. And my father's had prostate cancer in the last 3 years. He's had treatment for that. He's done very well. That was found from a routine blood test. So I'm really glad that, again, he made regular contact with his GP and had regular blood test. My other best friend from back home, his dad unfortunately died of prostate cancer fairly recently. He just ran the London Marathon for his dad last year in on behalf of prostate cancer. And it's an interesting point to make, because his dad did have a test for prostate cancer, but it was negative. So if your test is negative, that's your PSA, prostate-specific antigen. It doesn't always mean that you don't have it. It means it's less likely, but it doesn't always mean you don't have it. So if you've got symptoms of potentially prostate cancer or urinary dysfunction, so what that means is, you know, if your urinary habits have changed, and that means it's a bit harder to start the act of urination or going to the toilet, or you feel that the stream or the flow has changed, those could be the early signs of something going on in your prostate. It may be more likely that the prostate has just got a bit bigger as you get a bit older, but there could equally be a sort of prostate cancer associated with that. And especially if you've got blood in your urine, I would definitely say that's something you absolutely need to get checked out.
Now, the PSA check is not reliable in the sense of where you've described it.
It's very good.
It's a good indicator.
It's a very good indicator. Yeah. So I think you know I think that would be a first line check from your GP.
What would be the next thing after that, then, if you wanted to go a step further?
Yeah, I think, you know, you talk about examination, so you would have an examination of your tail end to have a feel of your prostate.
Yep.
If your GP was concerned and you still had ongoing urinary symptoms, they would refer you up to a urologist, potentially to be seen and reviewed. You know, they can do specialist imaging. If they did feel something in your prostate, you might often have a biopsy taken that might then indicate whether or not it's a cancer or not. And then, you know, if it was a cancer, you'd talk about treatment and things like that. And obviously there's other imaging as well, CT, MRI, to look at the prostate. They're regular images used to manage the condition.
Great. All right. Well, let's have some music. Have a think about what Jonathan's been telling us, and then we'll come back and talk a bit more about things.
This is Coventry Hospital Radio.
Right. We're back with Jonathan Young. He is the Chief Medical Officer here at Coventry Hospital, well, at University Hospitals Coventry in Warwickshire, covering rugby as well, presumably.
Absolutely, I live in rugby.
So, you do?
I do, yeah, very proud of rugby. Yeah. We've lived there for 6 years now, but I've lived around Warwickshire. I've lived for a tiny bit in Coventry, a bit in Leamington Spa, and now rugby. Yeah.
All right, good. Yeah. We're well entrenched.
Yeah, I am. Like, I totally believe in this hospital and this trust.
It's good to hear.
Part of me, yeah.
Well, let's go talk now a bit more about the treatments in terms of prostate cancer, because what we're talking about this afternoon is prostate cancer, the need to get checked, which you've talked about, but then there are certain risks around it, aren't there, as well?
Yeah. And again, the treatment varies, and that often depends on the cancer and the staging. So if you had a biopsy of your prostate, you would... you then probably have some imaging that could be a CT or an MRI scan, and that would help stage the cancer. So, and depending on the staging of the cancer, it depends on the types of treatment. But it is interesting that treatment has changed quite a bit now. A lot of prostatectomies were open procedures, quite big procedures. You've been in hospital for a long period of time. Probably a slightly higher risk of erectile dysfunction with some of those bigger procedures. We're now moving on to sort of more laparoscopic procedures, so keyhole procedures, and even more recently, robotic procedures. So I know that urologists at UHCW, we've got three robots at UHCW we're very proud of that to do these kind of surgeries, and the urologists use the robots on a regular basis to do prostate surgery. And they do that very successfully, and you can be in and out of hospital within 24, 36 hours following a successful surgery.
That's a big improvement.
Yeah, it's a big improvement, and potentially improves things for patients. Obviously, there is a big worry about erectile dysfunction, and that sometimes you're not going to get away with that. And erectile dysfunction is largely related to the nerves that are around the prostate area. So if you damage the nerves, you could get erectile dysfunction. But we do have nerve sparing surgery now, so it's important to realise that. Either way, it's important to go and see your GP and get diagnosed, because not treating prostate cancer, it's something eminently treatable, and you want to live, and it's very important to understand that.
There's the national debate still going on, I think, isn't there, about screening for prostate cancer?
Yeah, there is a debate, and I probably won't get involved in the detail of it, but I think they felt that actually the health economics of actually a screening program wouldn't be necessarily beneficial. So I think that relates to the number needed to treat. But it's not that I don't think screening is important. And I think, for example, every men do get asked over the age of 40 to go and see their GP, and quite often you will get a prostate specific antigen test. So we're not, I wouldn't necessarily say screening is ubiquitous, but I think if you go and see your GP, you'll get the test. Yeah. Good. So either way, the message is, you know, if you're over 40,
go.
Especially if you're hitting 50 like me, go and get yourself booked in to go and see your GP and get that test. It's and your GP will do that. It's a not an unreasonable ask, and the GP will want to know that as well.
Yeah, good. Yeah. I know when I asked, I got, and it was straight away. So
that's right.
Experience says, go and do it. Yeah. Right, thank you. Now, just talk a bit more about your role as a chief medical officer. What does a CMO do?
Yeah, it's you deal with, so it's interesting, as a CMO, I'm not necessarily in charge of the doctors per se. I don't line manage the doctors. I actually line manage my three deputies, actually, who are brilliant. I'll give them a slight plug on the radio there. But you're in charge of the regulation of doctors. So I'm the responsible officer for our consultant colleagues in the organisation and our locally employed doctors in the organisation. And every year, doctors are supposed to have an appraisal, and that's to see how the last year's gone. They'll talk about their practice, talk about things that they've been doing well, so talk about some challenges, talk about what they want to do in the next year. So it's very important that doctors, all doctors, have an appraisal on a regular basis. So as part of my RO function, I support that. I also support doctors that can get into difficulties, and that happens to some doctors on occasion. So you obviously try and support that. We're a supportive trust, and I've been able to support many doctors who've run into a bit of difficulty in their lives and in their practice, and get them back and get them going. So, you know, it feels good to do that for your colleagues.
Very good. And something about you. What hobbies have you got, Jonathan?
Hobbies. Gosh. Well, I have three kids.
It says it all.
So my stepson's 20. I've got a little girl. My stepson's 20. He's called Isaac. I've got a little girl who's 9 called Orla, and a little boy who's 7 called Kieran. So they take up a lot of my life and time. When I'm a slave to the hospital, I go home and I'm a slave to my kids. I used to enjoy a lot of cycling. I used to do a bit of triathlon. I have been told I will get that time back. I can start to see now that I am getting a bit of that time back. So I do enjoy doing a bit of fitness, and I've got a lovely wife who's very tolerant of me, and I like spending a lot of time with my wife and going out to musical events and things like that. She used to be in a band and she still sings and plays the guitar and piano, so I like to support her as much as I can.
And what sort of music does she play and sing?
It'd be rock. Yeah, she'll do rock, and she's a Blondie fan, and she also loves Mariah Carey, because I think she just appreciates her voice. So we have that regular debate in the family about who's better, Mariah Carey or Whitney Houston, you know, and things like that.
Great stuff.
Good.
Wonderful. Sounds good. Yes. Right. Jonathan, thank you very much for coming in this
afternoon.
Really appreciate the company, particularly what you've said about prostate cancer. We'll take
Absolutely.
It on board.
Yeah. We've got some great urologists in the trust. We are in the process of, by the way, just to plug, we're setting up a urology investigation unit. So that is hopefully going to speed up some of the processes related to the management of urological conditions, and that will include prostate cancer, I would just say. So there's lots of good things happening in urology in this organization right now.
That's,
so watch this space.
That's really good to hear.
Yeah, and also lots of really good research happening on prostate cancer, I would like to say as well. There's some new tests, potentially research coming through related to even just urine tests and the diagnosis of cancer.
Actually, there's been
quite a
bit in the papers recently about that over the last few weeks. I mentioned that earlier in the show.
Yeah,
so keeping it on the headlines.
Yeah, we've got to keep keep doing the research, keep doing the education with our colleagues, and we'll do well.
We will indeed. Thank you very much, Jonathan. Thank you.
Pleasure.